Very special, Who's Got the Boss? Angela's gonna like what she sees for Godwin's sake. And then, it couldn't get any colder, and Bob Newhart's rocking the sock up on The Grown Ones. Sad hospital desperation. The doctors of oncology on call. She's flying circles around the competition, but can Carol Bird stick the landing? Find out on The Flapper.
Well, hello, friends. It's me, Hardy White. Or, excuse me, should I say, Santa Claus. I'm sitting here in the mall on Santa Claus's throne. Not his toilet, but his royal throne, because Santa Claus, I guess, is some sort of king. And he's in the mall speaking to children and fulfilling their wishes. Or no, he's hearing their wishes. I don't think he's making any promises. He's on lunch break right now, Santa Claus is, and so I'm sitting here so I can speak to you. And I'm dressed in the traditional Coca-Cola Santa Claus garb, the red, I don't know what kind of hat it is, penitent, wink, wink, but the pointy hat and all that kind of stuff, and there's nobody bothering us because it says Santa's going to lunch. Now, it must be confusing because they maybe think I'm Santa because I have a white beard. I was going to say long white beard, but I don't know how long it is. My beard isn't particularly long. Just a white beard like I'm between domiciles or something. Say, oh, don't you need to shave? I'm going to wait until I settle down. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you. The shopping mall is sort of busy and loud, so you might need to speak up. And also, there's wings on this throne. You know the kind of chairs had in the turn of the last century to protect your face from the fire when there was still fire? We don't have fire anymore. I don't know how we heat things. But back then, we had fireplaces, and that's what Santa would come down. But only in Florida, I guess, because everybody else would be using them around Christmas. Hence his magical nature. If he can go down a live fireplace or into a factory, one of those things, smokestacks, does he do that? Well, I don't know. I believe corporations have wishes. Say, oh, I wish we had a new sorting and cutting polishing machine. And then Santa comes down your smokestack in West Virginia, and all of a sudden you have a new machine that can be more efficient and cut the fingers off your workers or whatever. I don't know what you're going for. But Santa's going to bring that to you too. And maybe some toys. What else you like? Now, Santa also has your mental health records to make sure that you're not requesting something that is just going to be a hobby. Another one of your hobbies that's going to dissipate in 2 months. I'm not bringing you all that archery stuff. I don't think you're going to stick with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so just another sketch pad.
Okay.
But I think that Santa's looking out for you that way. He's not going to bring anything that, you know, I still want that parachute. Santa, no, you don't. No, I'm not bringing it to you. What, a trampoline? No trampolines for you this year. And I don't know if Santa brings those. Satan might. There's a movie out now where the whole premise is a child spelled Santa, Satan. And then Satan. I don't know what they're calling him, shows up, and they have adventures. And he saws off his horns like Hellboy, I guess. Looks like a hippo's mouth. And they go on adventures. Now, I'm in a similar movie, except the child spells it, instead of Santa, spells it Saturn. And I'm a little piece of satin. And it's going, well, I'm going to rub it between my fingers to calm myself. Because that's nice. But we still have it. The same adventures that you could have with Santa Claus. Now, a lot of people aren't even religious, and Santa Claus, right there in the name, is a religious figure, I guess. We don't know what he looked like. Some say Saint Nicholas was he, because of the claws. Sounds like Nicholas and claws and everything. But the way I heard it, was he's not a saint at all. That's Santa, means something else. And claws comes from like, so he's something closer to Krampus. And I said that to someone, and they said, no, it's not. It's really closer to that that guy in the 70s who used to pretend to be drunk. I say, all right. And I don't know if this is if any of that is true, but we don't have to know the origin of myths to enjoy them. I'm surrounded right now by what I'm told are elves, and I don't need to know their origins or anything. I don't even ask them about themselves because I'm afraid. But they seem to be, they're doing their job. They know what to do. Some of them are making toys. Some of them are taking the children and putting them in boxes and all sorts of things. So I'm not going to interfere in their work. And some of it's culture stuff. Elves, I didn't even think about this until I saw Jar Jar Tolkien. And he said that all the races of the world used to have magic, except for the Irish or something. I don't know. He made some, who knows, some antiquated idea of race and everything. Maybe Santa Claus was some species, part of some species. You know, there used to be hominoid species like Neanderthal or... can't think of another. There was another one, Denisovian or something, and maybe even the Hobbit people of Indonesia, and they were called Homo floresiensis, if you're shopping for bones online. Oh, there's all sorts of Christmas gifts idea. I had a bunch of them, and now I don't remember. Well, a small piece of satin. We got that one now. What's something else that it might be a good gift? There's an age over, and I think it's 85, where I really super don't know what to get people. And it's not because I think they're going to die soon. It's just I think, well, do they need a lot of stuff? Because they've already accrued quite a bit, and they're going to die soon. So, well, maybe I should just give them an experience. Or something that they can use right away, like a cookie or gum. But I don't know, you know. No, not a savings bond is what I remember. That's what my great-grandmother tells me. Yes, she's still living. No, she's not. Bless her heart. In my mind, she is. Hey, malls don't even exist anymore, so obviously I'm not even in your time, am I? And that, I don't know what the dinging is. The traditional shopping mall had all sorts of, they would send codes to one another through, bing, bing, department stores would. And we didn't know what the code was. And, but there was stuff like, you know, bing, and people are shopping. Bing, 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 bing. There's a fella holding his wife's purse. Bing, bing. It was really complicated. And I knew it because I had a CB code lingo to shopping mall bing ding lingo dictionary, basically. And you could convert. You say, what's the 4? What's your 2-4? What's your 420 right now? In mall bings. And we would do that as kids. Or, like I said, the Tolkien stuff, we would write notes to each other in Elvish. Now, I bet some of these kids around here could read that because they're probably really are Elvish. I remember doing that to somebody. I said, oh, I speak Irish. And they were Irish. I don't say it wrong. And I was making something up. And I'm going, oh... And I'm not going to do it now because I was told that what I was doing deserved a big punch in the nose. Or at least that's what was demonstrated to me. So I'm not, never again. Gosh, I was just took a Christmas trip to Cincinnati. And I do that some years because they've got some nice Christmas decorations indoors. And I was at a restaurant, kind of an old-timey one. And the waiter was old-timey as well. As well as being old, his sensibilities were antiquated. And he offered up some. He said, would you like to hear some, what did he say, nationality jokes? He said, you can't say ethnic jokes anymore. And I was like, wow, I don't know. Well, you just did. And I, where's this going to go? And so what I said is like, well, you know, I don't know if I could stop you. I don't want to suppress your speech a priori or something, whatever the sound, I don't know the legal terms. So go ahead, and then I'll tell you whether you've messed up. And they told some sort of mild Johnny Carson-like Irish joke or something. I think it was, I know what the joke was. He said, Irishman walked out of a bar. It could happen, like that. And I said, listen, man, I just want a drink. That's what I'm here for. Bless you. I could go down. There used to be, in my day, ethnic jokes were so specific that you say, well, what county in Europe are you from? Any country. And I'll give you a stereotype. So, oh, those people like caraway seeds or something like that. And I guess at that point, I don't even know how offensive it is, especially if it's made up. And it's not derogatory necessarily. So I'm from, I tell people all sorts of lies anyway, so I don't know who I am or where I'm from. I forget. It's not lies. It's not that. It's just, you know, I was raised as a spy. And so I like to, sometimes I'm just in the habit of giving different identities. And because of the people come to my house and say, why do you have so many passports? I'll say, well, I've got to collect them. I like to collect them. Because you seem to have different names in different countries. Yes, well, you know how it is. I'm Ernest in the city and Bunbury in the country or something. I don't know how it goes. But you know, we like to recreate ourselves, don't we? And so I have different names and different places I go. You may know me as Santa Claus. Some know me as Hardy White. Others know me as Rabbi Kugel is a name that I got gone by before. Reverend Moe. I don't know how I got that one. But these are different places in the country. I might be known by these names, just like Sasquatch. Just like Sasquatch. Say, oh, you know, here you're Skunk Ape. Not me, I mean, Sasquatch is. And I say, how, that's amazing. Skookum. Skookum is both Sasquatch and me are known by that name. And every year, once a year, and I think it's now, it's before Christmas, it moves around. It's neither lunar nor solar calendar. It's this calendar is totally, totally based on Uranus. And so that's what we pull it from there. And I believe, so it falls in December, roughly, this holiday we're celebrating now. Now, come on now. I love you so much, my friends from the radio. And that's why I want to grant your wishes. I wish I could. Oh, boy, I wish you could tell me something that you need. More than want, I guess. I don't mean to split hairs like Mr. C. But, and I could help you get that. I wish that. Oh, my goodness. Not because I want credit or I want you to say, oh, you're so powerful and almost like a wish-granting god or a genie. Or, oh, stop. Come on. That's not what I want. It'd be nice. That's not what I want, though. I just genuinely would love to be able to contribute to less suffering for you, because I know that I would love that for myself. I wish there was a Santa whose lap I could sit upon and say, I need this or that or the other thing. But maybe that's possible right now. And you could come sit next to me. Let's sit next to one another or across a booth. That'd be comfortable for me. How about that? You're the other, there's a table in between us. It can be a Ms. Pac-Man. And then, but you're on the other side. And then let's talk about what you want. Now, I have noticed that a lot of people are nostalgic for things that they had in the past as children. And it occurred to me that if Citizen Kane were around today, that he would have a large house, yes, but not a mansion. It would be a recreation of his childhood room. And it would have in it countless rosebuds. It would have the original sled that he had as a child restored. And then he would have dozens of duplicates, some of them never opened out of the box from when he was a kid. But that's not just that. He could have everything that he ever laid his eyes on when he was little that gave him comfort, that could take him back there. Permanent nostalgia. Oh my goodness, then what kind of story would Citizen Kane be? Citizen Candy Kane. So I don't want to bring you anything. Everything that you desire, maybe from your childhood, some zippity-doo-dah robots or something, you can get on the eBay. But I would like to offer you something that really, really is intangible.
Oh, what's that?
Something that can't be tanged. Tangential.
Where are we going?
I don't know. I'm lost. No, I want to give you a gift that you can't buy in a store and that you don't even know you needed or wanted. Is that the ultimate gift?
Is it worth anything?
Is it worth anything? Hey, I could give you a dead fish.
Or you could teach me to fish.
No, I wouldn't wait till I finish. Or I could give you a fish that speaks. Who you could make money with. Not off of, but as a partner. Do you follow me?
I think so.
So the talking fish, you could have an act or something. I don't know. I'm not going to give you the details of it. That's where your genius and ingenuity comes in. I just provide the talking fish, which don't worry about whether it's sentient or whether I've used magic or whatever. Just go with it. They have the fake ones. Now, those Santa's Workshop used to make by the hundreds of thousands. They were these, it looked like a fish on a plaque. I'm losing my voice because I had to speak to so many children. And I have to go, ho, 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 which is giving me adenoids. But I had this fish, rubber fish on a plaque that when you say something, it goes, hey, you say something, don't. I think that's what it does, or it might sing. You say, hey, sing, and it goes, Tutti Frutti, oh, Rudy. It either repeats what you're saying in a weird, muted voice, or it sings a rock and roll song. I don't remember exactly, and it doesn't matter, and you shouldn't worry about that. What matters is that I want to be able to give you experiences.
Like a cruise?
No, again, it's not something that is really you can buy with money.
Well, then I already have it.
There you go, and we're done. This is a short one this week. Exactly. So if I can give you something... No, wait a minute. Are there things that aren't... that don't have a price that only somebody else can give us?
I'm thinking of something dirty.
No, nothing dirty.
Company?
No, maybe you can give yourself that.
What?
I don't know yet. I've had it because I've been to a lot of parties and I'm sort of done with people. But when I remember again what it is, I love this as a nice version. This is the best of experiencing one another, I think, is the radio. And this is why I do it. I know better than to come to your party and be there in person and say, I don't know, God, his vibes in real life are strange. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not... I don't know. If I could do anything about it, I would. Bless you so much. I try to come up with some fun persona, but it ends up just sort of defaulting towards the odd guy. I would say odd fellow, but I think that's trademarked. Don't they have an organization or something? People are starting to look at me. It's only been 20 minutes or so since he's been gone. Real Santa'll be back. I'm keeping the throne warm. You wouldn't want his Santa buttocks to be cold. And no, it doesn't have a seat warmer. It was built in the 19th century. It's a hand-carved throne. It's stuffed with camel hair. You have to explain everything to people. I love people, but I'm in the theoretical love business, not the experimental one. So I love people based on stuff that I've worked out on a whiteboard. And when I encounter them in the wild, it's crazy to me. So take me back to the lab. I love y'all. again, in a way I thought I could explain. But then there's something else to life, the experience part. I was thinking about this the other day when someone said, hey, I'm a ghost. And I thought, wow, that's a lot to process right there. And I said, well, how can consciousness endure beyond physical life? Because as far as I knew, everything you were storing, everything in that electrical flesh wallet that you call a brain. And these, all the memories and all the sense you made of things were patterns in this, and they were contributing to whatever this biological life is in toto, not just in your species or anything. So how can your experience or memories, or what is your consciousness outside of those experiences? You know, who are you? Are you something more than all the memories of what you've done?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like a personality?
What would that personality be?
I like cola.
You like cola. Your grandpa liked cola. You're like him. I don't know. What is like a basic...
I'm kind.
Yeah, but would you be kind if you were in constant pain? Or would you be unkind if something different had happened to you? I don't know. Is that some nature that's just you could call a soul?
I don't know what you're getting at.
Okay, let me get there then. I'll get there quicker for you. I'm thinking that if there is anything beyond memory and everything, that how it's inaccessible by definition.
What are you talking about?
I would just say that there are some things you can't see through to the other side. You are using a tool that is limited. And you think you're going to trick it into somebody always seeing the other side of the mirror. And there's no trick or quick move you can make to kind of see the other side. You're not going to look around the mirror and see the back of your head. So, then what? Well, I believe that we can have shadows of the real thing.
What are shadows of the real
thing? I believe the feelings are a sort of shadow or reflection or echo of your real self.
Like what?
Like abject terror? No, I don't know. Well, maybe. Oh, bless you. Ah, we are swimming in that, aren't we? Inclinations and feelings, I don't want to know what to make of them. I will say this, I do love a pine-scented anything. And some people will think, well, I like a cinnamon broom. Will say, I like something that's that's spruce-scented, almost aggressively acrid, you know. And I had a, you know this, I've said this for years, that I like the pine-scented spray, and really, it literally has been. I've been saying this on the radio since day one, and I have finally come up with my own spray. It is intense. It's incredibly intense. It's called In the Pines, and it's dark. It's a dark green can, and it's actually, the label says In the Pines, In the Pines. And you go, wow, that is Christmas, hyper Christmas, too much Christmas, almost. And I prefer that to kind of sweet smells. And if you, well, why is that? Let me tell you why. I was recording a band one time. I had a recording studio in my basement. I was recording a band, and they came in, and the fella said, I just got back from somewhere. And I was in the church there, and they had myrrh, and I'd like to burn some myrrh. Could have been frankincense. Might have been myrrh. It was like white, and it smelled like, I don't know, death. I don't know. But it was interesting to me. And there was, and he might have had frankincense and myrrh. I don't know. But I thought, you know, resin is not a bad smell. It certainly masks death. the death odor. There wasn't a death odor in my basement. Oh my goodness, I had a used to go to a recording studio, and this used to be a crypt. And I said, well, what'd you do to clean it out? And they, clean it out? I go, well, it's a, I don't know that, is it, was it recently used as a crypt? Oh yeah, it still is. Well, I say crypt. But, yeah, places like that, you know, dank and awful. You need some air circulation, I think. Whether you're storing bodies or recording pop records. Or alt country. Or Americana. I don't know if there's a distinction. My goodness. I wonder how many Christmas song lists there are that are just AI Christmas Americana now.
You make me no longer cling to life, Santa.
Oh, I'm not trying to do that. My goodness. In fact, let's do this. Let's make a Christmas song right now.
I'm not Christian.
Don't worry. Listen, I'm not here. This is no religious connotations. That I'm wearing a red suit that was part of an advertising campaign. I may just as well be Ronald McDonald sitting here. Let's just say that. So there's that. And also, this music gets into us whether we wanted to or not. You're walking in the mall as a small child. Doesn't matter what your creed is. And then I'll segue to this. Here's Creed singing their Christmas song. Santa, let's make a Santa. I can't think of anything clever.
Let me Santa higher. To the North Pole, Santa Claus.
I wish I was better at that. You know who he is? That Weird Al. He nails that sort of thing. And I can't do it. I think there's only so many levels of parody you can do before it's like it just collapses in on itself like a black hole. That's what I'm thinking about. It's like an Inception sort of thing. It's like, oh, you can't parody for parody for parody. I can try. But there's just so much I can't do. I mean, I'm Hardy White being Santa. Now, how many layers are in there? Probably five. My goodness, there's a line. I feel bad for... I know what I'll do. I'm going to speak as if there's an invisible person on my lap and no one dare say anything because they wouldn't want to be, you know, think like they're dissing the Inviso child. Hi, my invisible little friend. People are primed for that sort of thing by the X-Men movies and everything. So when we do start manifesting powers, or we say they're powers, are they mutations? Are they powers? That's how evolution works. We'll see whether it turned out to be a good thing or not.
I could burn down houses with my eyes.
Let's see whether that turns out to be evolutionary positive or negative, burn down eye boy.
Yes, well, I'm not getting a lot of dates.
Well, there you go. Probably negative then. Let's move on.
Bling.
Who's next gonna see me now? Another invisible person. Oh, you're too big to be here, invisible person. You look college age. What's that? No, you're just average height. So, I can't tell the ages of invisible people, it turns out. And it's embarrassing. But I thought I could tell by weight, but you don't know. There's so many variations. People come in all sorts of sizes and personalities and backgrounds. And that's why when I'm Santa Claus, I like to speak to them in their own language. And so somebody will get on my lap and I'll say, and they say, what, are you mocking a foreign language? And I go, no. I'm speaking in your secret twin language that only you and your secret twin know. And they say, well, I don't have a twin. And I say, yes, I know. It died in utero. And they go, oh, my mother never told me. And I go, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you. It's weird that it's Santa telling you. But that would have been your secret language. Please pay $5 for the Polaroid if you want it or not. And thank you. What toys are hot this season? Or what the kind of those minions, the ones that you light up, that you light on fire, are popular. What else is? I've seen some toys. A lot of them are connected to movies. When that Barbie movie came out, There was so much I'd never seen. I don't know how they got all that Barbie stuff so quickly. But it was like they went back in time. Let's see, what's a new movie? That Oppenheimer movie. They had some fun stuff that connected to it. Oh, every movie that comes out has some kind of promotional thing. And a lot of times it's elaborate or ornate. And, or food, you know. There was a documentary about R. Crumb. And I believe that you could buy a Devil Girl candy bar. And I still have the wrapper. And for a long time, I had the candy bar. And then I thought, either eat it or never eat it. And never eat it seemed dumb. I go, why would I keep it? So I don't know if it's worth anything, just the wrapper. And I may not even have that. But it's proof that I saw the documentary. And that terrified me as well. So, R. Crumb, the sane brother. What? Oh, you're making a wish for your sibling and not just for you. Well, what can I bring them? Oh, peace. I wish them peace, too. My goodness, some people are burdened with the love can be as hard as it can be a joy. You know, caring about somebody can be so difficult. So this time of year, a lot of times, people are in feeling grief or pain or loss, even sometimes for people who are still around because those people are struggling or they're estranged. And so I would just like to say, put a pine cone in your face and in a good way and smell it and say, what was I thinking just a minute ago? And it would briefly, you can have a little respite, at least briefly, from that. You say, well, Hardy's acknowledging it. I am. And a cookie isn't going to make it go away, but here it is anyway. It could help. I think it can help a little bit. It can't hurt. It could hurt if it's a poison cookie. I know you wouldn't do that. All right, but you still give it a little visual check to make sure there's no bugs in it. If I was, you know, addled or something, I didn't see it. Oh, bless you. What would you like? You don't want a car. Then you have to drive it.
You're right.
Maybe I could just talk you out of anything that you want. And talk you in. I can't talk you out of your needs. But maybe I could talk you out of some of your desires.
I would like the show to be over and a music show to be on.
I can't talk you out of that, but I can stall.
Dance in the old soft shoe.
You're stalling. I am, friend, and oh my goodness. Because I'm just trying to distract you. I don't want you to fall down into a pit. That's where others can help us. You know, some of these holiday parties, they might seem like, oh, other people, like that. But also, it's beautiful. Sometimes it just act like you're going to the zoo. Say, boy, it's the energy of other people. Look, I can look at them. They're going through stuff and all that kind of, you know, make you uplift you just by feeling like you're not alone in the world. And it's okay if you feel like maybe you're not even an individual. Why wouldn't that be unburdening? You know, if you've ever been a member of a pirate crew, that's not really an individual thing. You're all one there for a while. Now, when you go home and share your pirate stories in the pub, that's a different thing. And, you know. Now, there's a problem where I've run into guys in the pub who are sharing pirate stories, and they're clearly not pirates. This is stolen infamy, and I will not stand for it. And I'll say, prove you're a pirate. Do something heinous, like that. And a lot of times, they'll go, because I know they're not. To be a real pirate is, especially back there in some of the centuries that I did it in, the 18th century, boy. But also the 17th century. And even before, I did it before boats. I will take the time machine back, and there's just one confused person standing on a shore with a log going, come on, Igor, and they can't quite get it to do what they want. And sometimes I'll stand behind them, I'll go,
hollow it out with a sharp stone.
What?
Hollow the log out with a sharp stone.
Chip, chip, chip. And that's the cave people made everything. And then it just got more elaborate. And once you have the ship sailing the sea, skipping, pirates. And also money. If you're going to have money or kind of accrue any wealth, somebody's going to come take it from you. And the best way to not be stolen from is to have things that aren't worth stealing.
Why have we never seen like somebody like another kind of hardy white? Somebody,
you answer your own question.
Why don't nobody steal your jokes?
Keep going.
Oh, I see.
Yes, exactly. It's like when they go in those YouTube videos where people go in those abandoned malls or anything and they've just absolutely, there's nothing left to steal. That's me.
Oh, there's nothing in here, really.
Exactly. All that's in there is a sort of feeling, like being in a liminal space. This weird, unsettling, but also fascinating, compelling, exciting experience of being in a space that's empty but full. There's no people here. Are there people here? Ooh, is it an abandoned mall? It's a space where there's supposed to be people. But what if we take a space that's supposed to have people in it, and then all of a sudden, those people disappear? It's not the same space anymore, is it? Now we're not in a mall. Things have changed a bit. Oh, the mall's empty.
Why isn't there an echo?
Because it's the great carpeted mall of the Midwest. And it's called Monsanto Mall. And it is covered in every square inch with carpeting. And that's why it sounds so dead like that. And people have recorded great albums in here if you want that kind of sound. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I want a kind of live, reverby sound. Go to another. There's plenty of abandoned malls, and they all sound different. And hello, 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 like that. And you can tune them by, you know, close the doors to the old abandoned gap. And now it's a different pitch and everything. Love it. I had proposed to various municipalities who are struggling with abandoned shopping malls and not knowing what to do with them, how to repurpose them. And I said, hey, you know, with the popularity of the of that, like, Lamont Young Dreamhouse thing in Manhattan, can we not turn these malls into permanent sound installations? Like, where you walk in, so you walk into where, like, the pretzel place used to be or whatever, and by the J. Byron's. And it's like, I don't know, I'm just spitballing, but I think that might be fun. And as you move towards, you know, what was Spencer's, you can move back and forth. Like, ah! If you stand exactly where the massage chair was, it all comes together. It's like a chord, and it's just beautiful. I could do that. They say, can you do this, though? Engineer it and everything. I said, I can get it done. I can get anything done. Here's my rule. I can get anything done with money. So that turns out what it is. I've struggled with so many things in life. Say, maybe I couldn't do this and everything. But and then I did my research, and I saw other people, and I thought, wow, you really can do anything with money. So now you can get it, you know, various ways to get it, trick people out of it, borrow it is a big one, borrow it, promise people things and borrow it, promise to pay it back. That's how a lot of projects get done, movies and everything. Like, I promise to pay it. You promise? Yes. This is all the money I made on my one-hit wonder single. Are you ready to boogaloo yet? So you better, this better be a hit. Okay, I promise.
And you invest in the movie or anything, but it, you need the money. And then you just buy people who make, not buy people, you rent them, who make, you know, film things, make sound, put sound with it and everything. You can do this with books, shows, building a house. Say, I want to build this thing. Great, it's money. How much money do you have? Then we can build that. Say, I got $12 billion. Say, I'm going to build you a castle just like Citizen Kane.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was Citizen Kane's name?
Kane? Kwai Chang, I think. And but it's not going to be a castle. It's going to be a giant child's room.
Really?
Or, oh, I know. I'll build you a mall. You can live in a shopping mall. That must be any kid's dream.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
So that'll be fun. It'll be a couple stories, but it'll be a private residence. But it'll look just like a mall. And then you have guests that can stay there, and they can stay in any of the shops and everything. That could be fun. Come on, you got to use your imagination here, billionaires. I have so many billionaires who listen to the show, and they're always writing me and say, Hardy, what can I do with my money? How can I help people? You know, who can I feed? Can I heal? And I say, well, you know what would be fun? Is let's can we build like a giant clown? I mean, like the size of Mount Rushmore. And they said, well, think of something else. I go, I'm okay. I just think that that would go a long way morale-wise. Because everybody thinks in practical terms. They're going to go house people, feed people. No, I do too. So that would be great. Instead of the giant clown. I was being flippo reverso.
Hey, you were using reverse psychology.
No, I wasn't. So now, I guess, it's a difficult time to do use reverse psychology because we live in such a... everybody's so contradictory and so contrarian that things get flipped back and forth quickly. So I'm not sure how you'd even, you know... I know you can get people to say the opposite, especially if it's something helpful. And I saw that slowly happening for years with, there was some pushback on some Sunday school concepts that I thought were universal. You know, it's like, well, maybe stealing's not bad. You know, things like that. And I didn't think anything of it. Oh, my goodness. It is time for me to reveal myself and say I am not Santa Claus. This beard is just because I'm old and my people have hairy faces, I guess. I didn't know this. I'm trying to think. There was a lot of facial hair in my family until me. I don't remember anybody having a beard. I think they were able to grow them, but they chose not to or something. But I was like, hey, you know, if David Letterman... No, I have my beard first, and he's twice as old. That's something. You know who's all gray now is Johnny Carson.
And dead.
And dead. And Ted Knight is all gray.
And dead.
And dead. Who are these people you're talking about? These are people that I remember who had gray hair when I was a child. And a lot of people did say, oh, name somebody who had gray hair when you were a child. Oh, I don't know, Dick Shawn. Steve Martin. I wasn't a child when he came along. Who else had white hair? People on television. Santa. But Santa didn't take his hat off, so I don't know. Bald? Wasn't clear. And then when I do see him with the hair, I go, hairpiece? Is Santa bald? I don't know. I don't know who he is, where he's from, who Nicholas is. No one in my family named that. That seems like maybe a Mediterranean name or something. What would they have named in your family? I'm trying to think. Alexander or William or something. They would have said Saint St. Alexander. That's something, isn't it? St. William. But I'm not St. Hardy either. What's better than St.? S-A-T, I'm Saturday Hardy. It's not a saint. It's just somebody who wants to have a good time and wants to bring you to Saturday Hardy. S-A-T period Hardy. That's me. That's my new identity. As I go forth into these holiday times, I want to be a figure. I want to beam hope to you. And not this hope. No, not Bob Hope. Not Hope Mao. I want to beam to you a feeling that you can recreate yourself and the world, that there is a way to break free of the confines of limited thinking, and you do not have to be imprisoned by the dead, who have an outsized vote in this world, and we do the bidding of those who are gone and follow their rules, but they don't have to be here. Oh my goodness. We don't even give a vote to the good dead. We forget them sometimes. Aesop is going, I could have spared you some grief. And all you had to do was remember, so sour grapes isn't a flavor. Stuff like that. And my goodness, I want to bring you there. I'll be your sleigh driver. We're going to hop on Rosebud, but now it's not our childhood sled anymore. Now it's something, a present-day vehicle that is going to take us into uncharted territories where we recreate ourselves in the entire world. Repair it? Oh, nothing broken is permanently repaired. Everything is in a state of breaking and being put back together. Let's acknowledge that the falling apart takes place whether we participate or not, but the putting back together, oh, that depends entirely on us. As a pirate on the pirate crew, these wooden ships would be constantly in a state of decay and breaking down. All of our time was spent not making them better, but just keeping them afloat by any means necessary. That means plugging the holes with tar. That means reweaving the ropes, even if it meant using our medicinal hemp. So I'm saving this hemp. We need it for the ropes. Oh, God. Isn't there like Delta 9 rope or something we can use? Oh, we made sacrifices then as pirating. There is I have watched those videos of the fellow that's, people are doing stolen valor, and he's going, hey, I was a valor, and you're stealing a valor. And they're like, well, no, but how do I impress people at the bar? I go, well, you steal something else. Tell him you're Santa Claus. So that's what I've been doing. I never told anybody. I wasn't in the military, and I never told anybody I was. I did wear a hat one time on television, and I thought, but I'm playing a role, and I still felt guilty. It's I feel like, you know, did Colonel Hogan go, do people know? They know I'm not a real colonel. So I felt it's okay to do it on film. You can pretend to be. In the Army Air Force is what they called it back in World War II or World War II. I don't know. Like I said one time, I'd never heard it pronounced. My friends, that you've spent this much time on my lap, I could have had the background noise go, oh, did it quit on you? No, I wanted it to quit. Because I wanted that jarring feeling of it being just you and I. Is it jarring? I wish I knew where that other voice was coming from. I do think it's probably in the computer. I was on a car trip with somebody recently, and the car kept chiming in. I can't do that. I said something about, this is absolutely true. I said something about hemorrhoids, and the car goes, I cannot retrieve medical information at this time. It's like, I don't want any medical information. I just said, do you have seat warmers, or are my hemorrhoids flaring? Is what I said, and then that's what the, and then so I laughed, everybody laughed, This, again, is not a joke. The car then said, "What's so funny?" And I said, "You got to turn that thing off. It was creeping me out a little bit." And this wasn't Knight Rider or something. This was just the Sorry or whatever the things they say. Sorry, hey, I got a thing. No, Sorry is that game. Like Husker Du. The band? No, the game. Do you remember? I don't think so. No, that's not. I used to be a comedy writer. I never sold anything. I was never a comedy writer. That's a lie. But I am a liar. No, I don't. In fact, here's a paradox. Every time I say I've lied, I'm lying. There were two guards, and one said, everything he says is a lie. And then the other guard had been rebuilt so many times, there was no original parts. So they say, is this the guard that was the one that said lies? Or is this a new guard? So it was the ship of Lathesius, liar. Paradox, we call it. And if you understood that, then you are a graduate of the Hardy White Santa Claus Philosophy University. And I'm giving you a PhD. And you can, I recommend, I'm giving you the PhD, but I want you, this is a thing that nobody ever does when they get a PhD, is that go out and get some vowels for it. You have a fader or a fody. Or, you know, you don't even know that. You go, oh, I've just been you've got a fado, an afado. You just have to put some, you know, people get the handful of consonants and they go, oh, I guess this is it. You got to think beyond that. Go beyond it. Photo I like. Or, you know, you can't add any more consonants unless you earn them in a university. Do you have a degree, Hardy? I have 98.7, 96. I don't want to say the wrong temperature. One of them is the frequency of this radio station and the other is my body temperature. But those are the degrees I have. My mother would always say when you'd have a fever, she goes, do you have a temperature? And I was like, I hope so. And she said, well, why do you say that? You'd get her so mad. Do you have to use the bathroom? Do you have to go to the bathroom? That she would say. You have to go bath. Do you have to go to the bathroom? Do you have to go to the bathroom?
I have to go to the bathroom.
What?
To do cocaine.
No, I meant, do you have to pee?
No, I'm good.
there are other reasons to go to the bathroom. Sometimes I will just be like, is there little hand soaps? And they'll say, no. The attendant at the bathroom. Attendant? Yeah, you never been to a Stuckey's? Sometimes there's people working in the bathroom and you pay them a little money and they give you a little spritz of cologne or a hand towel or something like that or a complimentary soap that has your picture on it. I don't know how they do that. I think it's a Polaroid thing. But I'm just blessed to be with you, especially around the holidays. I wish I could make you something to eat. Oh, I make so many licorice treats. I like to make things out of licorice that people think, oh, why would you make that out of licorice? And for instance, I use little licorice. I say licorice, so I'm trying to say licorice. I have a novel called The Licorice Mirror. So I'll use like one of those jello molds, and it'll have carrot chunks, celery chunks, radishes, and licorice pieces, or all sorts, in the jello. Well, nobody's going to eat that. I was just at a party that had like a mid-century theme in a mid-century house, had two jello molds, and no one touched either one. And they were both not intended to be ironic. They were for eating. And me was like, no. But they were traditional 50s, your grandma's jello mold. And by mold, I meant it'd be like a copper pan that you put the jello in and all that. And then, you want a piece? Who wants a piece? Who wants it? Anyone else? More?
I'd like some cranberry sauce and jelly mold. All right.
I'm gonna get. What's this coming over the fax? I'm fired. How do they even know? Hasn't even aired yet. I don't know how they do it. The station, it so scares me so much. I don't want to say anything about the mafia, but a lot of times the radio station feels like that a little bit. I don't know what my status is at all. You know, I feel like I'm on the air, so I guess I have my button. But who knows, you know? Don't turn your back. You don't know. You know, one day you're up, one day you're down. So you never know. And what I love about it, though, is that if you are on the air, you can make volunteers do commit crimes for you, which I did not know before. So when I went up there for a marathon, I was like, hey, could you do me a favor? I need that liquor store robbed. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I did not realize how expensive New York had gotten. My gosh, I love being here, but I was just over, and also Jersey City is no—it's no bargain. So it's just if you could do that, and the volunteers at WFMU were so sweet. Oh, what dear hearts they are, dear hearts and gentle people, and you can get and they will do anything like that. I was I messed up though, because like my second year, I thought, oh, I'm big shot, and I had them. Try to rob that post office next door, and I guess Ken had some agreement with the post office, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't know, so I did, you know what, after tribute, he's a lot easier to deal with. I gave him a little, so I go, hey, does this help calm the waters now, and he said, yeah, I got to be honest with you, it does. And I said, does this help make up for the fact that I haven't been funny or clever it's going on like 13 years now. And he goes, yes, it does. It goes a long way. And I say, thank you. I think you, number one, as we reach the end of a calendar year, and I'm not going to tell you what year we're in because I want this show to be evergreen. And maybe I'm playing it this year or next year when I'm sick. So, but maybe I did. I mention anything that had recently happened? You mentioned the Barbie movie. So we know it's not before 2022 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2023?
When did it come out? I'm asking my producer, Derek the Elf. Derek, what year did it come out?
What? Die Hard?
No. Forget it. I just watched Last Action Hero, too. I hear it didn't do too well at the box office. But you know who's in it is the fella from The Keep and Hill Street Blues. So that was exciting to me. I'm blessed. I know that. I hope that I've helped you, lightened your load a little bit. And also, if you'd like to follow me in some kind of cult-like thing where you think I'm Santa, or that's fine. I don't know how I would work that out. If I had land, that would be so much better if we were all living together. Well, I'm going to think about it. And as I said, I've got lots of billionaire friends, and maybe they would shut us up a little bit. I don't know why they don't give to the station. I once asked that. I go, who's the richest person that gives to the station? And they said, Citizen Kane. And then you just spent all night basically dissing him. So thanks, Hardy, White, Miracle Nutrition, and WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City. And online at WFMU.org, worldwide freeform radio. All over the place. Yeah, buddy. Thank you for listening. I will see you again next week.
name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' 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 name was Ebony.
Yeah. Oh,